The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or consistent, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life. You live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away.
Glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Good Monday to you. Tom Brady has his seventh ring, tying Paul Brown. That's quite an achievement. I contrast it with George Schultz, who died yesterday at the age of 100. Quoting from the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Schultz held four different cabinet posts in the Nixon and Reagan administration, served for 6 years. President Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State, one of the longest such tenures since World War II. He remained an active voice on national security, economic, and environmental issues after leaving government, sometimes challenging positions of his own party. Born in New York, Mr. Schultz made his mark as an economist originally. After graduating from Princeton, he earned his PhD from the MIT, where he taught for a decade. He was then the dean of the University of Chicago's Graduate School of Business, a fellow at Stanford, and then President Richard Nixon picked him to serve as Secretary of Labor. He went on to become the OMB, director under President Nixon, then the Secretary of Treasury. Then he left and ran Bechtel for a while and came back with Mr. Reagan. Remarkable life, remarkable patriot. When I met him for the first of two times, it was at the Hoover Institution. I was a, quote, media fellow. There were a bunch of us in the room, other journalists. And George Schultz came in, sat down, looked up at the circle. It was one of those raised classrooms, said, "Hello, I'm George Schultz, United States Marine." George Schultz went ashore at Peleliu. So his public service actually goes back to prior to 1969. And that's how he liked to be remembered. George Schultz, United States Marine. No taken away from Tom Brady. He had a great game. He is the greatest of all time. He's better than Frank Ryan. Maybe as good as Otto Graham. Of course, it was tougher back then. But Patrick Mahomes did not look like he had to be on the same field last night. I think Baker Mayfield and the Browns, since they have an offensive line, would have given him a better game. But 1-for-2 in the Super Bowl is something that, you know, you just got to, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you just got to be satisfied with. Chris Jones tweeted out 10 hours ago, "I profiled Gronk's dad, Gordy, and went to their house. The five Gronk boys shared five king-size beds in two massive rooms with extra-wide doors. Which bed was Rob's?" Gordy shrugged. "Wherever they crashed that night, they crashed." He said it was like he raised giant cats. So that's pretty funny. Good news and bad news on the COVID front. All right. Good news is that we've got 41 million Americans have got at least one dose. 59 million doses have been delivered. I'm starting to hear from friends they're getting it. Bad news. Lots of COVID conspiracy theories are out there. They're all wrong. They're all doing destructive things. You need to get the vaccination for yourself, for your family, for your friends, for your loved ones, for the world. There is a study that shows the AstraZeneca jab from the United Kingdom, not the ones we use here, does not work to prevent the mild and moderate COVID from the South African strain, which may or may not be a big deal, but it's not great. The ministers in the UK say keep faith in it. The Wall Street Journal has a story, COVID-19 vaccines raise hope, but cold reality dawns that the illness is likely here to stay. It might be. If it gets weaker, it won't be a big deal. There's good medical news as well from the United Kingdom. Some scientific breakthroughs offering hope in the fight against Alzheimer's. There are other diseases, of course, out there. And 50 million worldwide cases of Alzheimer's. And they've been studying it for years. But there's a new drug, donanemab, D-O-N-A-N-E-M-A-B, donanemab, manufactured by Eli Lilly. Highly effective at removing the protein buildups in the brain, the amyloid plaques that have been the suspected culprit for three decades. So I thought I'd pass along some good news. Here's the best call of last night, even though I don't normally play these. When the game was out of hand and out of line, it became, of course, that time of the game when morons jump on the field. Here's Kevin Harlan's call of the idiot on the field.
And down 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
Because the game was over, and he somewhat had too much to drink. Now, I will tell you this. He didn't score. He slid. And he didn't score. He did not stop. You know, if that had been an NFL play, everyone would say, why did he slide then? I mean, if he had anything, he would have gone for it, but he didn't.
He looked like the Chiefs at the goal line.
Yeah, he did. The Chiefs, he did better than the Chiefs at the goal line, actually. Joe Biden last night on our 60 Minutes interview, the traditional presidential Super Bowl interview, talking to Nora O'Donnell. He immediately apologized to President Xi, cut number 3.
Well, we haven't had occasion to talk to one another yet. There's no reason not to call him. I probably spent more time with Xi Jinping, I'm told, than any world leader has, because I had 24, 25 hours of private meetings with him when I was vice president, traveled 17,000 miles with him, and know him pretty well.
There's a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about. A whole lot to talk about. And he's very bright. He's very tough. He doesn't have, and I don't mean as a criticism, just a reality, he doesn't have a democratic small D bone in his body. But he is, the question is, I've said to him all along, that we need not have a conflict, but there's going to be an extreme competition. And I'm not going to do it the way that he knows this, because he's been sending signals as well, that I'm not going to do it the way Trump did. We're going to focus on international rules of the road.
Now, unfortunately, Winston Churchill spent a lot of time with Stalin, and it didn't change Stalin. So that's just not a signifier of anything. He said, I didn't mean it as a criticism when I called it undemocratic. He is worse than undemocratic. He's got a genocide underway in his country. And then comes my favorite bit of the interview, Joe Biden with Nora O'Donnell. Remember this, all you parents out there who are looking at another long day with your children not in school. The President of the United States says this, cut number 4.
I think it's time for schools to reopen safely. Safely. You have to have fewer people in the classroom. You have to have ventilation systems that have been reworked. Our CDC commissioner is going to be coming out with science-based judgment within, I think, as early as Wednesday, as to lay out what the minimum requirements are.
It's so hard with kids not being able to play sports now.
A lot it really of kids. Is. I think about the price so many of my grandkids and your kids are going to pay for not having had the chance to finish whatever it was. That graduation where you didn't get to walk across the stage. I think they're going through a lot, these kids.
Look, he didn't talk about the teacher unions. The teacher unions are not going back. Do you think he might have said, teachers unions, follow the science and go back? Think he might have said that? He didn't say that. He should have said that because he's the president. And teachers unions are the ones who aren't following the science. I'll be right back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Let there be no doubt. Big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? The battle lines have been drawn. Big tech has made it clear which side they're on. Now is the time to take a stance. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. See, every device, whether you're on your phone, laptop, or TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, even click on a link, a big tech company can use that IP to track all your activity tied back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized, and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. All you have to do is download the app on your phone. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights. Protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt. That's ExpressVPN.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months free. So go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. Welcome back, America. I know that Washington, D.C. got some snow again yesterday. That's always fun for the Capitol. I wish you well driving to work today. You know, I know that John Leahy will be going to work today, the best real estate guy in D.C. Go look him up, John Leahy, L-A-H-E-Y. And that way you'll know you're getting the best deal in D.C., John Leahy. Hey, look, I want to tell you something about the market this morning. It's brought to you by Birch Gold, great sponsor of the show. I tell you, buy a little gold, not a lot of gold. Don't go crazy on gold. 10% is great. Maybe as much as 25% if you're a gold bug, but if you're over that, you're way over that. But if you want to roll over some of your IRA or 401k into precious metals, trust Birch Gold, and you can find them at HughGold.com, HughGold.com. Or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. The reason I want to bring gold to your attention is because of an article on the markets today that included this note. The pandemic, the worldwide pandemic, is stretching government spending the world over to its limits. The combined fiscal response, that means printing money, totaled 12% of global GDP compared to 2% stimulus of global GDP following the 2008 financial crisis, according to Capital Economics. So in 2008, the world central banks manufactured and their legislatures, they printed or found a way to make liquid 2% of the global GDP. They've done six times as much in the past year. Stimulus spending helped push the United States deficit in the 2020 fiscal year to $3.1 trillion. It's going to be bigger in Joe Biden's first year. The country's debt topped $21 trillion, the biggest share of the economy since 1946, when the world was emerging from World War II. The article concluded, in the face of mass unemployment, business failures, most governments have put deficit concerns aside for now. Yes, they have. The same is true of worries over monetary policy. Ultra-low interest rates are here to stay for the foreseeable future. To which I put on Twitter, oh, I don't think so. Interest rates eventually reflect inflation. Right now, the 10-year Treasury ticked up again over the weekend to 1.17. That's the highest it's been since the pandemic hit. The price of oil is up to $57.58. And another economic story shows that tightening oil supplies inject new momentum into price rally. Gold is at 1817, still lower than where I think it's going soon. If you want to buy Birch Gold, go to hughgold.com or text Hugh to 474747. And on Friday, the Dow was up 92, the NASDAQ was up 78, and the S&P was up 15. And overseas, everything is green. England is up 1%, Japan was up 2%. Inflation is coming. So in the next segment, I'm going to talk about Joe Biden's plan to spend another $2 trillion. And I think that's going to take the pop out of the bottle. The cork out of the bottle is coming. Good news, Biden says he's not going to lift sanctions on Iran before they stop uranium enrichment. And that Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, blasted China in his first phone call. That's all good news. But what's bad news? $1.9 trillion. Now, I like some of the stuff they're doing. They're going to unveil a $3,000 per child benefit. Every child in the United States, unless your parents make more than $150,000 combined or $75,000 single, then it'll start to phase out. Now, I've got some technical disagreements with this. I'd like them to incentivize two-parent families because that which gets rewarded gets repeated. But I like aiming relief money to kids. I really do. I think that's smart, and I think Republicans ought to work with them on that. But $1.9 trillion is way too much money. And when we come back, we'll talk about that and about my new Washington Post editorial, which is on the front page over at WashingtonPost.com. I encourage you to go read it during the break. Or stand by. I'll read it for you when we get back to the Hugh Hewitt Show. I can't stop singing along. Can you join in? Come on. Are we more than just the slice of American pie? We're top down lovers. It's Saturday.
There was a time a long, long time ago, Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right.
Hey, man, welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Good Monday to you. This is my practice. I normally post my Washington Post column on the weekend. Sometimes they need one midweek, but I like to write on Friday and Saturday and have it post on Sunday and available on Monday to start your week. The title is Republicans Stop Fighting Among Yourselves. It reads thus. Henry John Temple. You know who that is? Henry John Temple, Lord Palmerston, is remembered when he is remembered at all by Americans for being the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom during the American Civil War. Palmerston kept Britain from recognizing the Confederacy when quite a few Englishmen of his generation thought it would be a good thing if the former colony split into two. Palmerston is also celebrated for many memorable things, saying about politics, including his remark about an up-and-coming politician nearly 50 years his junior. Quote, "Beware of that young man," Palmerston told a friend about the young conservative Robert Cecil, who went on to three terms as prime minister. He was Lord Salisbury then. Quote, Palmerston again, quote, "He possesses one of the secrets of success, for instead of defending himself and his cause, he attacks the other side." The GOP ought to ponder that observation as it considers its course as the loyal opposition. There is much talk today about splits in the Republican Party, though similar splits plague the Democrats. But the sharpest divide remains between the two parties. Rarely in recent memory has it been so clear. Rarely has there been less of a center. Republicans must focus all their energy on regaining the majority in Congress. To do so, consult a third Victorian prime minister, Benjamin Disraeli, who believed in party loyalty. Quote, "It is not becoming in any minister to decry party who has risen by party. We should always remember that if we were not partisans, we should not be ministers." For Republicans of this era, who know that sharp words for each other will grab attention from the press and cable television, Disraeli also had this advice. A majority is better than the best repartee. Look for that majority, Republicans. If Republicans forget that party loyalty matters, they could be out of party for a long, long time. The differences between Republicans and Democrats are clear. Both parties spend too much money, but Republicans regret doing so, aware as they are of inflation's approach and its cruel devastation when it arrives. Democrats care about teachers' unions. Republicans care about schools. Democrats desire the approval of the world. Republicans prefer to lead it and take such approval as comes. Democrats generally don't trust the military. Republicans trust it almost completely and have to be shown where it erred or was profligate. Democrats want to spend less on weapons. Republicans want more. Democrats disapprove of the wall on the border and pretend it doesn't work at all. Republicans want it finished because it works to some degree and it effectively communicates that a border exists and that our country will enforce it. Both parties have fringes. Republicans need to drive theirs out. Democrats are untroubled by their fringe are in league with some major news media to ignore it. Republicans want to help the poor, especially the homeless, and don't think government is very good at doing it. Democrats think only government is big enough to get that job done, though they admit their need for better systems. These are all significant divides. While in the minority, Republicans should attack on these points. Attack, attack, attack. They must draw distinctions with Democrats, not each other, unless they prefer repartee to the majority. End of column. Send it around, will you? The impeachment trial of Donald Trump will be, start this week, it'll be over. It's already done. It's unconstitutional, and 45 Republicans aren't going to vote to convict on that basis. It's just done. And there's still arguments. My old friend Chuck Cooper put one in the Wall Street Journal today that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm sticking with Mike Littig and the scholars who agree with him. Judge Littig is smarter than the rest of them. And Chuck's pretty smart, but he's not smart on this. This is not hard. The plain reading of the Constitution suggests doesn't suggest it, just it's obvious. There shouldn't be a trial of a former official. And the state constitutions of the era support that, as was pointed out by a couple of guys, including John Woo in the National Review. I cited that in a tweet this morning as well. You should be following me on Twitter. You should be following me on Rumble. And, of course, my YouTube channel. Now, 1-800-520-1234. Open the phones. Senior Democrats to unveil $3,000 per child benefit as part of their COVID relief. Now, I like this proposal. I want to work on some of the details. And it would be about $180 billion of the $1.9 trillion. So it's a tenth of the Biden package. It's the tenth we should support. $3,000 per child benefit. Now, they phase it out. It starts at about $3,600 for every child. Over the course of the year until the age of 6, and then $3,000 per child ages 6 to 17. And you're not eligible if you make $75,000 a year, and you're not eligible if you make as a couple $150,000 a year. Now, I would like to tweak it to make it more beneficial for two-parent families. I don't know that they have to be married, but a man and a woman in a household is better for a child. Two parents are better than one. So I might incentivize that. And I'd work with the Democrats on that. But I prefer giving money on the basis of children than giving money on the basis of breathing. Because those children cannot fend for themselves. And if you've got a five-child family, getting $15,000 will get you through the year, no matter what happened to your job. Then they can also dispense with the minimum wage nonsense, which is going to kill jobs. I like this because it's direct. Direct payments from the IRS. Mitt Romney wanted to use the Social Security Administration, probably better for the IRS. The size of the benefit, according to the Post, would diminish for Americans earning more than $75,000 per year, as well as for couples jointly earning more than $150,000 per year. It's being spearheaded by Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts, who is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. The IRS would begin sending out payments on July 1. Crucially, the benefits would not be deducted off of taxpayers' existing tax liability, meaning you'd get it regardless of whether or not you owed money. This is an attempt to help children get out of poverty and get fed at least for a year. Republicans might want to limit it to 2 years or 3 years or 1 year, but it's a good idea. And it's one-tenth of the Biden proposal. So you don't stand there and say, no, nothing, nothing, nothing. Go to the best part of the proposal and support that. Chris in Pennsylvania, what do you think, Chris?
I think it is a disgrace. We just spent $900 billion on a 5,500-page bill that nobody read. We're now coming back before the ink dried on that. We're giving money away that we don't have. Who wants to give money to charity when they don't have money? They have to go out and borrow money to give to somebody. What we should look at Calvin Coolidge when he hunkered down and he reduced all the excess and said, open the states up and we can get through this. To spend $1.9 trillion to bail out all of these states that misused their funds and the states that were honorable and fiscally sound have to bail these other people out is a disgrace. $1.9 trillion we do not have, Hugh.
Well, please, Chris, did you hear me just now? I said
I absolutely heard you.
Chris, hold on a second. I said $1.9 trillion is a terrible idea. The $180 billion that wants to go to kids is the best part of the $1.9 trillion. The Republicans have to find something to be for out of the package. And so be for the best part of it, which is one-tenth of the total, and be against the rest, and especially be against giving money to states to bail out their public employee unions. Absolutely. Yeah.
I understand that you said that, Hugh, but I think what the Republicans should be for is putting up the list of the billions of dollars that the previous $900 billion went to and said, let's pull some out of here and give it to the kids. Another $1.9 trillion when you said, let's just have it for a year or 2 years. Once it gets put in place, you think it's going to stop?
Well, that depends on the law that you write. Now, I don't believe that the Biden law can get through without Republican support. I don't, because it's so closely, such a close-run thing. So I would find a place to draw over the centrist Democrats, build a bridge to them, and the $180 billion is one-tenth of the proposal, goes to kids. It's a good one. It makes sense. So support that. You might, by the way, want to redirect some of the money that hasn't been spent, but draw a line that can be defended. Just don't say no, no, no. Saying no, no, no gets you killed. Thank you, Chris. KJ in Houston. Go ahead, KJ. You got about a minute.
Yes, sir. Hey, I agree with the previous caller. I mean, borrowing money to get us out of debt doesn't work. Also, I've been involved in the Big Brothers Big Sister program. I see a lot of parents that frivolously throw money away on, I mean, I could go through a whole list of it. The kids never get it.
Well, I by the way, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. My the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt spent the weekend working on one of her programs. She was amazed at what parents showed up. One parent showing up for relief, driving a Mercedes. It's not going to be perfect, but most children are not in that situation. Most children who would receive this are indeed in need. KJ, thank you. Selena Zito next. She's been writing about for the Washington Examiner closed schools, and it's horrible. Teachers' unions, get off your rear ends and open the schools. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined this morning by Skype by Selena Zito. You may be saying to yourself, I just saw Selena on Fox. And in fact, you did just see Selena on Fox. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
I'm great. I especially liked your column this week because the title, The Kids Aren't All Right, is basically what I talk to everyone about. I don't think there's anything that people in America agree on more than that the schools ought to be open and the teachers' unions are villains.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely right. What an important thing to understand is this crosses all socioeconomic backgrounds. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal or you're conservative, or you're progressive, or you're politically agnostic. This is affecting the children. And not only is it impacting them in the present, but it's also impacting them long term. Some of these kids are going to compete with kids who didn't miss school. You know, they're going to be in the workforce 10 years from now. They will have been stunted in their development, not only academically, but also socially. Think about all the things we learn as a child in school. Outside of the books, we learn about conflict. We learn about people that are different than us. We learn about being part of a team. We learn about sitting on a bench. You know, there's sort of all these things that help develop us, and those things are gone too.
Now, I like the way you wrote this because you focused on one student who is intensely competitive, obviously. She competes in school. She competes in the pool. She can't compete. And so what the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I were talking about today is we know kids like that because our oldest was that way.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a competition, she wasn't interested. But if it was a competition, she had to win. And so the question becomes, what happens to kids like that? And your column suggests she went from A's to D's.
Yeah, she did. And she takes naps and she's not interested in school. The things that she loved, that sense of purpose, is gone. And you think of it's the same impact that we have on seniors that are in nursing homes. That anticipation, knowing someone's going to come and see you, that's taken away. We're doing that to our children, and it's not healthy. It's not good. And we're seeing the impact of that in real time. And what's really interesting is this is the city of Pittsburgh school district that she's in. And all the other schools in Allegheny County, with the exception of two, 43 other school districts surrounding her school are open. But because of the teachers' union, they're not open.
Well, you know, I believe that every school district that is still closed, when they face the next elections, all their existing school board members will be thrown out. I think people are just going to run against them for having the schools closed because everybody knows the science says open the schools. There isn't an argument. There isn't an argument. It's the, you know, the science. And but the good news of this is homeschools are booming. Catholic schools are booming. Yes. And little cooperatives are booming. It may be the death knell of teachers unions because their leadership is so stupid. And I mean stupid with a capital S.
Well, I mean, there's school board members that send their kids to the suburban schools that are making this decision, not school board members, but union members whose kids are outside of the city school. Their kids are in school and open, but they're forcing the city schools to be closed.
Do the Black Lives Matter folks in Pittsburgh, have they figured out yet the disparate impact of school closing on racial minorities in the United States? It's enormous.
Yeah, I've read a lot of, not people that are involved with that movement, but just parents. I've talked to a lot of them, and I've read a lot of local stories about that. And yeah, it absolutely impacts lower income students disproportionately, as you said. It's because of technology, because the amount of computers in the house, because of the parents being out at work, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, if I think back when my kids were young, I wouldn't have been able to afford 2 computers for each kid. No way.
And the poorest of them don't get the food either that they get at school. Let me ask you, did any member of the school board talk to you in Pittsburgh? Have you tried? Will you try? I'd love to. There's no answer. You don't see them on TV because there's no answer.
No, there isn't. I haven't talked to them. I did reach out. I got texts, but I didn't talk to a person. You lose nuance and the ability to go back and forth when you text with someone. As a reporter, I believe texting and emails are not how you get answers, but it's talking to someone one-on-one.
Well, you know, what's interesting about me is I won't talk to reporters. I will only text with them because then they can't distort what I say. But then I don't talk. I talk to you, Selena, because I could trust you. The last thing I want to emphasize, the Pittsburgh School District has said they were going to reopen 4 times, according to your column, and then changed their mind 4 times. That
including
is
today.
Terrible. They did it today?
Yeah, a Clinton today. They're supposed to open today. Gone. And that's the other thing that Lena Carson and her dad talked about, who's a doctor, who's on the front lines with the COVID patients. They said, that's the hardest part, because they give us a date and we're looking forward to it. And she's like, we buy new clothes. You know, I talk to my friends, and then they take it away from us. It's done. They've done that to them 4 times in 11 months.
That is just one of many school districts that will pay a price electorally, I hope. And teachers unions have lost the credibility if they ever had it. That's the only good side, but it's not worth the cost of these kids. Selena Zito, follow her at selenazito.com. Thank you, Selena. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned to The Hugh Hewitt Show.